You may be seated. And I have to tell you, I've already been asked at least more than once of how I know such talented young ladies, and the answer is camp, which typically the answer is camp, but for Mary, I grew up counseling with her mom, Terry, who my parents were actually Terry's youth directors when she was in high school, so shout out to mom and dad that are online this morning. But they, Mary and Ava and their sisters have been coming through the camp system and through mom's social media have been seeing Mary in her musical theater career shining and seeing Ava singing with Garrett Wilmoth, who we've had a couple of times here. And I said, I would love to get those voices to Torrance first. And so thank you for being here. Aren't they a blessing and amazing singers? And one to know, Ava just got her wisdom teeth out 3 days ago and said, this isn't her full singing. And I went, oh my goodness, what is full singing like? We'll have to have you come back when you're feeling much better. But with that, and these ladies I get to see all week at camp, hearing them sing during our praise and worship times. So be jealous of me. But with that, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The answer is camp. And camp's a great example for this power of positivity sermon series that we're going through, because even just this morning hearing, but it's gonna be so different with the numbers so small. We're usually 70 to 80 campers in camp, and now we're looking at like 25 to 30 in camp and doing multiple sessions. And that seems like it's so small and it's just not gonna be the same, but all of a sudden you realize with small numbers, there's so much more flexibility of what you can do and getting to get creative with the schedule. Like this week with our second round of junior hires, the cool thing was we had so few that everybody each day got to do the archery range and got to do our adventure tower, and we got to have a pool party all together. And that's not something we usually get to do because there's too many of them to do that, and how exciting to do that. And we get to get excited about things like that when we seek to be people of positivity and looking on the bright side. So as we move here into our second Sunday of the power of positivity, and we look at the people who surround us, I challenge you to think of, if you picked up your cell phone, if you've got a smartphone, and started looking through the pictures on it, what faces would you be seeing? Or if you've got photo albums of at home of people you regularly see, or the pictures that you keep around your house, who are those people? Now, as you think about who those people are, kind of like Miss Becky said, of are they the pounders? What did you say was that word? The knockers or the pullers. I would say, are those the people who lift you up, or are those the people that push you down and bring you down? Because that's an important question to ask. Because if you are surrounding yourself with people who lift you up, you're gonna find yourself as a more positive person and enjoying life more. Where if you're surrounding yourself with a lot of negative people who are puller downers, you're gonna find that you're looking more on the dark perspective of life and not enjoying it as much. The people you surround yourself with are important in your overall view of life and how your life is running. It's not just like we said 2 weeks ago of your focus and where you're placing yourself, but it's just as important to think about who you are surrounding yourself with. Because in reality, negativity is toxicity in our lives, and positivity is life-giving. Let's think about an example from the Bible. The first I go is to the New Testament, and I promise it's not because I've preached on this 5 times already at camp. But there's the story of 4 friends who had one friend who could not walk and was stuck laying on a mat all day. You may know this story. These 4 friends, what did they do? They picked up each corner of that mat and carried him to a house where they knew Jesus was. Why? Because they knew that Jesus had the power to heal by reputation, and they had faith that he would be able to heal their friend. So they get to the house, and the house is packed. I mean, think about it. Jesus gets 3,000 to 5,000 people on a house on a hillside to hear him preach, and then you're gonna put him into a first century house in Israel? obviously, it was packed. Even flowing outside the house, they couldn't get anywhere near it. Now, the negative person, if these friends were the pessimists instead of the optimists, what would they have done? They would have disappointedly gone home, right? We can't get in. There's too many people. Let's go. Do you have those people in your life? The line's too long. The weather's not good enough. There's too many people here. Let's just go home. I feel like I should be putting on an Eeyore voice, right? Because they really are the Eeyores in life. Let's just go, right? But these friends, they weren't the pessimists. They were the optimists and the doers. Can't get in through the front door. Let's go in through the roof. So here they hauled their friend all the way up to the roof, pulled back part of the roof, and lowered him down to Jesus. And the man was healed, not by his faith or anything that he did, but he was healed because of the faith, the optimism, and the determination of his friends that were up on the roof looking down upon their friend being healed. Are you surrounding yourself with people who will pick up a corner of your mat when you need it, and instead of turning around and going home, will take you to the roof and lower you down where you need to be? See, now, in our life, we cannot expect positive things to happen if we're around negative people. They're going to be dragging our mat home instead of lifting us to the roof. And when you surround yourself with positive people, on the other hand, you are more likely to adopt empowering beliefs and see life as happening for you instead of to you. Do I need to repeat that one? That you will see life happening for you instead of to you. You want an example? Let's go back to the Bible, but let's go to the Old Testament. One whole book is dedicated to this. It's the book of Esther. Now, fun fact, if you didn't know, Esther is the only book in the Bible where God is not named or mentioned at all. But Esther is a critical story. Esther is living with her cousin Mordecai, and they are living in Susa. Why? Because Israel has been defeated, and they are refugees being brought into another country to live. Esther is an orphan being taken in by her cousin, and in so many ways would be considered one of the most powerless people in Susa. An orphan, a woman, a Jew, unmarried. Can it get worse than that? Actually, it can. The king decides he needs a new queen, and he hosts essentially what's a beauty pageant to determine who is the most beautiful that he will take as his next queen. Barbaric to say the least, it makes me shame to hear that this is what our society used to be like. Fortunately, we're a smidge better than that most of the time, right? But here, of all the women of Susa that he could pick, he picks Esther. And now she's an orphan, a woman, a Jew, and a Jewish orphan woman living in the king's court, waiting for him to just call on her amongst his many wives that he has. But while this is happening, a plot comes up to try to eliminate the Jews in Susa. And Esther's cousin hears rumors of this and gets the message to Esther and says, "It's time for you to step up and do something. You are in just the right place to save your people." Mordecai's got this optimistic outlook. Not you're an orphan, a Jew, and living in the king's court, but you are a Jew and you are living in the king's court and you can do something about this. Now Esther immediately says, "Not me, I'm powerless. There's nothing I can do here." She can't even go approach the king to tell him help unless he calls for her, and she has no idea when that might be. But Mordecai tells her over and over again, "You have been put in a place for just this time." And he encourages her, and he keeps encouraging her and it becomes infectious into Esther. And they develop a plan, but one of the things that's so critical that she asks is that all of the Jews in Susa spend time in prayer together for her. Mordecai's positivity and support to her, she then turns around to the community and says, let's do this together. You pray, I pray, and then I will act with your help behind me. And it works, it's successful. The Jews are saved. So let's put ourselves in Esther's position. If a challenge or a difficult task or an asking to step up comes upon us, do we have those people like Mordecai who surround us, that will encourage us, that will lift us up, that will let us know we can do it? Because what are we reminded with Esther? That with our community's help and God's help, we can do it. Why? Because we believe in and serve a God of the impossible. So we see once again, when we surround ourselves with positive people, we, like Esther, can be more positive about what's possible and what's happening, which can cause other people around us to be more positive. How do we strive to be a part of this chain reaction of positivity instead of negativity? Because all it takes is for one negative person to bring the whole group down. You wanna see it? Get a group project at school. Have a planning meeting. Try to do anything as a group. And you will find that it is easy for the negative person to control and bring down the group. So how do we be the positive one? First, we have to align ourselves into a place where we gravitate towards positive people. What does that mean? We have to be proactive about finding positive people. Who are you choosing to sit next to? Who are you choosing to be around? Are you seeking to identify who's positive, who's negative? And once again, like 2 weeks ago, placing yourself in a position where you are closer to the positive person than the negative person? Or maybe if it's one where someone is so negative and bringing you down so much that you either need to limit your time with them, limit the power that they have, or possibly even in the extreme, eliminate them from your circle of friends and life. Of course, let's also be cautious, because there is a point where positivity can become toxic as well. That person that is perpetually optimistic and positive, even in the places where you shouldn't be. If someone has just passed away, the person that says, just buck up, cheer up, and put on a smile is not actually benefiting you with their positivity. There is a place for grieving and hurting and pain, and just putting on a smile and saying you should be fine is actually not the solution. So my little footnote of be cautious of the toxic positivity. But look at our text this morning that Lori read. That long text. Kevin, are you jealous? Kevin always gets the long texts in first service. But Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. I love all these little tidbits of knowledge within the Proverbs. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. And with wisdom, there's positivity. Because people who are wise can see the bigger picture. They can see where the good is in the midst of the negative. Maybe like a little girl who had been dreaming about getting a pony for her birthday. When she left her house on the morning of her birthday, she saw a large pile of manure that was getting ready to go out in the field. And she excitedly picked up a shovel and started digging. And her parents said, "Why are you so excited about this manure?" She said, "Well, in the middle of all this manure, there must be a horse that produced it." Walk with the wise, become the wise. Like Esther, there is a power within us to change the world around us. The attitude we carry, which is influenced by the people we surround ourselves with, is and will always be a major determining factor in our success at changing this world. So let us be intentional in the circles we keep, the people that we allow to be a force and influence upon us, and about the influence we have about around those around us. And let us remember a great phrase that comes out of Mexico, si se puede. I almost pronounced that correctly, didn't I? Almost. Together we can. Because just like those four friends, and just like Esther, if we believe that we can do it, and we think positively, we absolutely can. With that, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks that you are not the God of that which cannot be done, but that you are the God of that which can be done. You are a God that was able to create the earth in 6 days and rest on the seventh, even though we somehow seem we're not able to rest on that seventh day. You are a God who could save the world through your Son, raising him on the third day to come to life so that we could have life and that we could have life abundantly. Help us to see that abundance. Help us to see the good that is in this world and the good people that are able to surround us to lift us up instead of drag us down. And in doing so, may we also be lifters of those around us, helping them to walk in the light instead of the darkness. For all of this, we pray in your name, mighty and loving God, amen.